Take your Bibles tonight, open up with me to Philippians chapter 4 and get your outline out. And you might want to just put a marker here in Philippians 4. Tonight is a continuation of our study in the book of Philippians and specifically chapter 4. And the sermon that we're looking at tonight is the second part from last week, Living in Peace, Breaking the Habit of Worry. Before getting into this, somebody asked me a question. It was a good question. And I think it'd be beneficial to share the question. I'm not going to say who said it or anything like that because that doesn't matter, but it's a good question. And I think it's probably one that we all have. And so as I share the question, I'll share the answer that I passed along. For starters, worry is one of those topics that has many shades and nuances of meaning. And so when we hear the word worry, our tendency is to interpret it and to run it through our own personal filter. So we come up with our definition of worry, and so then when a message is preached on worry, sometimes it can create some confusion. So the question, simply paraphrased, goes something like this. If I have lost family members, shouldn't I be worried about them dying and going to hell? What say ye? Okay, and there was the word that just got tossed out, same word that I used. Concern and worry are two different things. When you stop and you think, you say, well, as I give the definitions, maybe you say, well, it's just splitting hairs in the definition. Not really. Concern is something that recognizes a need. A person without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is going to die and go to an eternity in hell. That's not a maybe. That is a definite. And so there is a normal concern that should be on the heart of every single child of God that we would want to reach that individual. We would want to do something to win that individual to Christ. Maybe they live a distance away. We know about them. We still want to find some way to get the gospel message to them. And so maybe we call somebody in that neighborhood that lives nearby them that knows Christ as Savior, and we say, hey, here's my friend, my family member, my whatever. Would you please get to them? I'm, you know, miles and miles and miles away. I can't get to them. Can you get to them? And the main thing that we do is we pray for them. You know, we go to the Lord in prayer for that lost family member, and we ask God to save their soul. And so we constantly are bringing them before the Lord. We are doing something. Concern does something. Worry does nothing except stew and fret and wring your hands and imagine scenarios that probably will never come to pass. And it invents bridges and situations that will never have to be dealt with. A lost soul dying without Jesus Christ as Savior, that is not an imagination. That is not inventing something that maybe is going to happen. No, that's going to happen. If they continue to reject Christ as Savior, that is going to happen. So that's where the difference is at. If you're just, you say, oh, I'm so worried about them. I'm so worried about them. Okay, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this, and I'm this. Okay, that's not worry. That is concern. And that's exhibiting the concern the way that you should. But if we say, I'm just so worried about what the weather's going to do tomorrow. And you just create a mess. And you can't do anything about it, can you? So there's your definition and the difference between worry and concern. As a Christian, there are certainly a lot of things in our life that we should be concerned about. And if we are legitimate, if we have a legitimate biblical, let's give it an even different biblical word. If our soul is burdened about something, that's a good biblical word. We have a burden about something, about somebody. A burden does something. It has a way to take care of that burden, and it tries to lift that burden. It takes that burden to the Lord in prayer and all those kinds of things. Worry doesn't do that. All worry does is creates an ulcer. It sits in the bottom of your stomach and churns up the stomach acids, and before long, you've got a stomach ache because you've created a good old ulcer. That's what worry does, and that's about all worry is good for. So if you're a worrier, stop it. It's a bad habit. And it's just that. It is a bad habit. Now, I'm being facetious. I'm trying to be funny. I know. I'm telling you to stop it. If you're a worrier, stop it. Uh-huh. Bad habits. That's like telling a person that bites their fingernails, you need to stop that. That's a bad habit, right? Okay. So, but here's the difference. The Bible doesn't say anything about biting your fingernails. The Bible does say something about worry. So Christians, we have got to stop the worry. We have got to break the bad habit of worry. And God tells us how to do that. So because I want to keep the flow going, let's look here in Philippians 4:6 real quickly. We're going to just recap what we saw last week. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So Roman numeral number one that we had last week is the problem. The problem is clearly defined as worry, anxiousness that distracts us. It divides us. And we are told to worry about nothing. If we worry about just one thing, then we have worried about something, and we have not been obedient to God's command to worry about nothing, so therefore, we sinned. One worry, isn't that something? Just one. You don't have to have a pile of worries. One worry is sin. And God doesn't want us to be worried. Concerned? Burdened? Yes, because you can do something about that. But not worried. The second thing in your outline tonight, Roman numeral number two, is the prayer. We are supposed to pray about everything. And remember, we talked about this at the end. Our prayer comes in three parts. First of all is our prayer. And the Bible says, you know, bringing everything to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is where we enter into the presence of God in a worshipful manner. I am coming into the throne room of God. I have the right to be there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a privilege to be there. I am told to come in boldly. But at the same time, I have to remember who I am, where I am, and who I am kneeling before. It is before Almighty God. And I don't come in there demanding and saying, well, you have to do this, and you have to do that. Whoa, wait a minute. We start out by worship. And that's the whole point of worship. We took a look at that. Prosuke, the word suke, to kneel in His presence, but to come before His presence. That's what we have to do. And then supplication. We offer our specific needs to the Lord. And then it says, with thanksgiving. We talked about this. This isn't just the general being thankful. You know, at Thanksgiving, let's go around the table and tell us what you're thankful for. No, it's not that Thanksgiving. It is saying, Lord, I've come into your presence. I have brought my petitions before you. I have no idea how you're going to answer this. Thank you for the answer. I don't have to know how you're going to answer, Lord. I am thanking you in advance for saying yes. I am thanking you in advance for saying no. I'm thanking you in advance for telling me to wait. Lord, I'm thanking you for however you're going to answer it. Not if you're going to answer it, because God will answer our prayers. The problem is, we don't think no is an answer. And we don't think wait's an answer. Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. It may not have been the answer I wanted, but it's the answer that I needed. So, Lord, I need to be thankful for that. The third thing in your outline, Roman numeral number three, is the peace. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. The peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy says to Charlie Brown, she says, I hate life. I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole world. Charlie Brown says, but I thought you had inner peace. Lucy says, I do have inner peace, but I have outward obnoxiousness. Well, we know Lucy didn't even have inner peace there, does she? Because you cannot have inner peace and be outwardly obnoxious. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells the story of Dr. Nicholas Ridley, who in 1555 was sentenced to be burned at the stake in England because of his witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. His brother, the night before he was to be burned, told his brother, I want to spend the night with you in prison. I don't want you to be here alone. And Ridley declined the offer, and he said this, I intend, God willing, to go to bed and sleep as quietly tonight as ever I did, because he knew the peace of God in a very special and unique way in his life. As Christians, I think we would all say that we want to have peace. We don't want turmoil. We don't like the agitation and all that kind of stuff. We want peace. And we look at that verse in Philippians 4, and it says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, what's one of your favorite verses? If we were to poll the audience tonight, and I would guess that there would be several say, oh yeah, that's one of my favorite verses. Oh, that peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. There is a reason numerically that 7 follows 6. You don't get 7 without going through 6. What does 6 say? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. So when we practice verse 6, then we get verse 7. But if you're not going to practice verse 6, you're not going to get verse 7. It's just not going to happen. Maybe I've got a bad analogy here, but it spoke to me, and I hope it'll speak to you. We have the things in verse 6 that we take to the Lord in prayer, and the supplications, the burden or whatever. We have given him thanksgiving for it, and then we say, in the peace of God which passes all understanding. Okay, so why is that peace so far away from me? Well, this could have worked out better. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. What we opened with tonight, taking our burden to the Lord and leave it there. And how many times do we take our burden to the Lord and we leave it there just long enough for us to get up from our knees and we take it back with us? Now, here's the analogy. Here's the picture that came to my mind. How many of you ever tried to train a dog? Okay, so you're going to tell your dog, you want your dog to sit and to stay. So you take your dog to this spot. You say, sit. And so you push his little hiney down and you get him in that sit position. You say, now stay. Stay. And he starts to stand up. Sit. Stay. And you go through this little battle back and forth. Sit. Stay. You take a couple steps away and his little hiney pops up and his tail starts a wagging and here he comes. No. And you pick him up and you put him back in his spot. I said, sit. Stay. And how many times do you repetitiously go through that? And each time you get a little bit farther away from him until finally it clicks in his little doggy brain what sit and stay means. And then you've seen dogs that have been trained that you can tell them to sit and stay and they'd stay there all day. How many times do our burdens kind of follow us along as we get up from our knees? And we need to turn around and we go, no, sit. Stay. And we pick that nasty little burden up and we take it back over before the Lord and we sit it back down. I said, sit. I said, stay. We walk away. And then it gets up and follows us. Well, I guess that's all I can do. I tried. No, you didn't try. You're not going to train your dog like that if you give up the first time it chases you. And you're not going to train the worry to get out of your life if you don't constantly get a hold of that bad dog, that bad worry, and say, sit, stay. We take it back. You say, I've done that. I've done that so many times. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep taking those worries, those burdens back to the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look with me at this verse of Scripture. This is kind of what's being presented here in a way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Would worry fit in there? Yes. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We take those worries captive, and every time that it follows us home, we take it right back to the altar. We don't give it a second. We don't sit there and, you know, if that little dog comes to you and you're trying to train it, that dog gets up from its sitting position and its staying position, it comes over to you. You don't go, oh, come here, let me rub your head, let me pat you, here's a little treat. You don't do that. You've defeated the purpose. You instantly take the dog back, and that dog does not get a treat until that dog obeys. And our worries, we can't take it away from the altar after we have given it over to the Lord and say, oh, come on, worry. Let me think about you for a while. Let me stew on it for a while. Let me go back to letting my stomach churn for a while. Oh, that's bad. Okay, come on, let's go back to the altar. Who are we kidding? I mean, who are we kidding, really? The second that that thought comes back to our mind, the second that that worry travels back, it has got to be taken immediately, brought captive to the Lord, and say, Lord, I'm bringing this back. It got away. Somehow it got away. It followed me home. You know, Mary had a little lamb, and the little lamb's name was worry. And it followed her to school one day, and it followed her to home and everywhere else. No, take it back. Take it back. Now, part of this is accomplished this way in the next point. Roman numeral number 4 is the programming. The programming. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, if we could. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In your outline tonight, the programming. First of all, letter A is the world's programming. We have been programmed to be worriers. We really have. I mean, that's a part of the flesh, the old carnal flesh, but we have been programmed to be a worrier. From childhood, kids worry about grades. They worry about bullies. They worry about being accepted. They worry about relationships. We come into the adult world, and our worries are more mature. You know, it's not such trivial things, but they're still worries. We worry about bills. We worry about repairs. We worry about politics and jobs, the economy, marriages. We worry about the pandemic. We worry about a whole lot more. So our programming needs to be changed. If you don't like what's on the station, change the channel. And folks, we have got to say, I don't like worry being on the station. It's time to change the channel. So I have taken the burden to the Lord. I'm going to make that thought, that worry, I'm bringing it captive before the Lord. I'm making it give up. I'm telling the Lord, this is yours. But I've got to reprogram the computer. So letter B is God's programming. God's programming. God's programming found here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, number 1, transformation. By number 2 is renovation. Transformation by renovation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has got to be renewed. It needs to be renovated. How do we do that? Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Who's going to do that for us? I mean, we pray and we say, "Oh Lord, change my thought process, Lord. I want to think more like you." Well, that's a good prayer to pray, but now we got to do something about it. It's one of those prayers that God says, this is your responsibility. I'll give you the help. I'll give you the strength. I am going to give you the best tools in the toolbox, but you got to use them. You know, you can have the, it's sitting in your garage, you can have the nicest, shiniest, most expensive, best tools out there to get a job done, but they're not going to do any good if you don't use them. And God says, I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm going to tell you how they work, but you got to use them. So, number 3, Philippians offers 8 areas of thought requiring renewal. 8 areas of thought requiring renewal. Areas of letter A, truth. Truth. Lies surround us. In 2019, in the Oxford Dictionary, they add words to the dictionary every year. And in the 2019 Oxford Dictionary, 2 words were added as a phrase. Fake news. That was something that was never in the dictionary before. Fake news. It is so easy to get discouraged trying to filter through the truth and the lies. We were talking beforehand tonight about watching the Amy... Barrett confirmation hearings. Is that frying anybody if you're listening to it? Give her a lot of credit. Give her a lot of credit. There are so many ridiculous things that are said. Some of these politicians, I don't know how they can keep from being ashamed. I really don't understand how you can keep from saying the things you do and not be flat out ashamed that you said it. But you know, it is so easy to get used to spitting out the lies, and it gets so tiresome for you and I trying to sort through it. It's kind of like dumpster diving. Anybody want to dumpster dive? I mean, yeah, not me. You know, think of the grossest dumpster filled behind a restaurant or something, just filled with, you know, and somebody tells you there's a diamond ring in all that. I don't want to dumpster dive for it. You know, it'd be gross and it's discouraging. And I kind of feel like listening to the news is like dumpster diving some days. You're just hoping there's a diamond in there somewhere. Too often you find out there's not. But let's go to John 17. John 17. If we are to renovate our thought process, notice what it says here, John 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. What's truth? Thy word. God's word is truth. You know what, folks? Our brain needs a rest. It really does. Everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, people are so tired of what's going on in the world. So tired. Tired of the pandemic stuff. Tired of hearing about it. Tired of hearing the politics. Tired of hearing about the election. Tired of hearing about the economy. Tired of hearing about this closure and that closure. We need a break. You know where we'll get our break from? Daily feeding on the Word. And quite honestly, if we spent more time feeding on the Word as Christians, we wouldn't be so exhausted from all this world as the dumpster of the world that has taken us through, the trash, the garbage, if we'd feed on the truth. So we've got to change that area. Letter B is the word honor. In the passage of Scripture, it says, whatever things are honest. The word honest literally means that which is honorable. So go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I'm not going to be able to chase all the references I'd like to tonight, but I'd just throw out a couple. I'd like for you to make kind of a study of your own. But in Hebrews 13 and verse 18, the writer of Hebrews says this, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly, or literally honorably. We are supposed to think about that which is honorable. Vincent's word study says that there lies in it the idea of a dignity or a majesty which is yet inviting and attractive and which inspires reverence. There are so many dishonorable things in our world. We need to put our minds on the things that are honorable, that are honest. We have to force ourselves to think on those things. So as much as we are bombarded by all the bad, we've got to say, somewhere we got to shut it off. And we got to say, I'm tired of thinking about this. And I don't know. You remember in the 90s, I guess it was. That sounds weird to say that. You remember when the kids kind of developed this really rude habit that talked to the hand? I'm sorry, I think we need to revive that. Because I kind of want to tell the world and a lot of people, enough. Or that you look and go, yeah, but didn't you listen to the news? But what about, I don't want to hear it. I'm not burying my head in the sand. I'm not pretending this stuff doesn't exist. But I've had all I can take. My brain is going to explode. My mood and my attitude is getting bad. I need to saturate myself in truth. I need to saturate my brain in that which is honorable. And all this stuff is not honorable. It's not truth. So, I I don't know. You say, if I did that, somebody would be offended. They're going to be offended no matter what you do. So somewhere you got to put the brakes on. You got to say, I just can't handle this right now. And you don't have to go directly to this. Just say, you know, I really can't handle this right now. And if they keep going, then go ahead and put the hand up. Letter C, justice. Letter C is justice. We are supposed to think about that which is just, whatever is right. Letter D, purity. Think on that which is pure. We are surrounded by impurity. The images on most television programs are various levels of impurity. Glossy magazine advertisements. Billboards going down the road. Anymore, you get the pop-up ads on your computer. Oh. You know, Christians, and I don't know, I mean, maybe there is a way to stop all pop-ups. I don't know if there is. But when the pop-ups pop up, always look in the top corners. There's an X. Or in the bottom, it says close. Be quick. You know, just be quick with your mouse and get them things shut off. That way you're not exposed to those things. Keep your mind on the things that are pure. Letter E is loveliness. Loveliness, that which should be loved. We love that which God loves. Letter F is a good report. That is the things that are well spoken of. If it's well spoken of, think on those things. Letter G is virtue, which is moral goodness. Letter H is praise, that which is praiseworthy. Eight things that we have to think about. Nobody's going to do it for us. And if we don't do it, then why shouldn't we expect our brain and our heart and our mind to be filled with anxiety and worry and grouchiness and all that kind of stuff? We've been told where to put our brain, where to put our thoughts. We got to get a hold of those thoughts, bring them captive to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I'm bringing you the bad ones. Now let's fill the brain up with the good ones. So Roman numeral number 5, the practice. The practice. Going back to Philippians chapter 4. Let's finish this out tonight. Got just a couple minutes. That clock went by really quick. Wow. It doesn't even feel like we've been in church for an hour tonight. And I've been here since 5. Philippians chapter 4, the last part of verse 8. We are told to think on these things. In the first part of verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Practice these things. If we don't think right, we won't do right. Write down two references, Proverbs 23:7 and Proverbs 4:23. Read them in that order. Proverbs 23:7 and 4:23, because they talk about how important it is to have the right thought life. Because out of our thought life feeds the heart, and out of the heart comes the issues of life. So if the thought life's not right, the heart life's not going to be right. And if the heart life's not right, the life's not going to be right. See how important it is to have the right thinking, to be renewed, have the renewing of our mind? That's why it's so important. So the practice. Paul says, you've learned from me, you've received from me, you heard from me, you've seen in me. I was the example. You and I Christians are the example. Somebody is watching the example that we set on these things. If we are doing this, Roman numeral number 6 is the promise. The promise. The last part of verse 9, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's a great promise. When we accepted Christ as Savior, we received the Holy Spirit of God. We received the characteristics, the attributes of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, you know, all that. We received it. You say, well, why am I not experiencing it? Go back and read this passage. It's only verses 6, 7, and 8, and 9. And that'll tell you why you're not experiencing that peace. Even though it's there, those are the reasons why we don't. If we're not praying, if we're not really taking the worry to the Lord, if we're insisting to worry, if we're not willing to replace the bad thoughts, if we're not willing to do what the Lord has said, then why should we experience peace? That doesn't make sense. But if we do what God says, like that song we sang and ended with tonight, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. in fathomless billows of love. Christians, tonight, this is the life to break the habit of worry and to live with a peace that this world does not comprehend. And when they see us not filled with anxiety and all bent sideways out of shape over everything that's going on, hey, I'll be the first to tell you, I've struggled with this because it's really easy to get bent sideways out of everything that's going on. I struggle with this, but I have found that the more that I've put this into practice, I have gotten a peace from the Lord like I've never had before. You know what? It's fun. It really is fun. It's an awesome way to go to bed at night. It's an awesome way to wake up to have the peace. Doesn't mean that the struggle's gone away, because it is kind of like riding the wave. Sometimes there ain't no peace. You're not experiencing it. You're in the midst of the dumpster. There's no peace in the dumpster. You got to crawl out of the dumpster. Let's crawl out of the dumpster, Christian. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's only one way, and it's not about the peace that we're talking about tonight. It's a different kind of peace. The Bible talks about a peace with God. The peace of God comes at salvation, but peace with God. You see, right now, lost soul, the Bible says you're at enmity with God. There is no peace. There is an enemy relationship. And the only way to have peace with God is to receive His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. That's the only thing that's going to bring peace to your life. You see, God so loved the world that He gave and He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for your sins, to shed His blood in the payment of your guilt and my guilt. And He was buried in the tomb and He arose again from the grave. You know, as a lost person, every one of us was the enemy of God that caused His Son to die. And to think of the tremendous love and forgiveness, because the moment you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you go from being an enemy to being family. Loved family. That's mind-boggling. But it is only possible if you repent and believe the gospel. It is only possible if you will call upon the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, I don't know if I'm talking to anybody tonight that doesn't know the Lord as Savior. But if I am, there's the plan. What are you going to do with it? Will tonight be the night that you would call on the name of Jesus to be saved? If so, would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I am a sinner. And I know and I believe that without Jesus, I am going to an eternity in hell. But I also believe tonight Jesus loves me so much. And He showed that love to me at Calvary. Jesus died for me, and I believe that. Jesus rose from the grave. He's alive, and I believe that. And tonight I also believe there is no other way to be saved but by calling on the name of Jesus. And tonight, Lord, I do that. I ask Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen Savior, Son of God, God in the flesh, to save my soul. Jesus, I ask You to save me right now. Have you prayed something like that this evening? You've meant that? Never prayed it before, but tonight you did and you meant it. If so, would you just slip your hand up wherever you're at tonight? Then our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that our burdens, our worries can all be left with You. That our thought life, thought process can be right, can be godly, it can be biblical. Help us, Lord, to kind of filter through our lives a little bit tonight, to sift through the stuff that's there, to see what might be responsible for turning our hearts the wrong direction, for getting our thoughts off kilter from where they ought to be. And Lord, that we'd be willing to surrender those things to You tonight. Lord, as we take a moment to lift up the new prayer requests, we thank You in advance for how You'll meet each need. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.